2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
The Biden administration has decided to scale back some of the president's student loan forgiveness program. The Education Department has announced that some 800,000, almost a million students, will no longer be eligible to receive loan forgiveness. So we want to dig into what happened, why did it change, what does this mean, how it will be effective. And I'm really pleased to have Ben Ritz join us, director of the Center for Funding America's Future at the Progressive Policy Institute. Ben, thanks for joining us on a Friday.
Thanks for having me again.
So let's dive into this in terms of what happened today. And I know there's kind of that visceral reaction of, what's going on? What are the hangups? Just from your perspective, what can you see in this? Why do you think the administration felt like they needed to back this back a little bit?
Sure. So essentially what happened is before the federal government really took over the loan system, there were people who, a lot of these loans were done privately. And so one of the options people have had is to consolidate those privately held loans into federally held loans. And that's important because Biden only has argued that he has the authority to cancel loans held by the federal government. And so people would have to convert the privately held loans into federal loans to be eligible for cancellation. But what the administration has announced is that people can no longer do that moving forward. And so if you have those loans, that's no longer going to get canceled.
Okay. So part of this is just saying, okay, if you started with a privately held loan, you can't consolidate that into a federal loan and then be eligible for the loan forgiveness program. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And so then as we look at that, is there any sense in there, is this the administration just kind of trying to guard against some of the pushback or even some of the we won't get into the legalese of it all, but is this the administration just trying to steal this from some of the challenges that it has received on whether or not the president has power to do this?
Yeah. So I think one of the big concerns has been if this is a move that the president doesn't have the authority to do, who has standing to challenge it? Because before a court is going to hear the case, they have to say somebody has standing to bring the case forward. And one of the concerns here was that the holders of the existing loans would have strong standing to bring the case if this was allowed to continue. And so this is, I think, a defensive move from the administration to close off at least one possible source of a legal challenge for the plan going forward.
Yeah. And what about the communication strategy behind all of this? Has this become complicated or how should the administration be messaging this out to the broader population? It's kind of the everyone gets this, but not you don't get this now. that's gonna be a messaging challenge. What do they need to be doing on that front?
I mean, I think for starters, they have to be very clear about who qualifies and who doesn't. To the extent they can, it would be helpful to maybe decide that before you announce the policy instead of making the changes as you go. But I think that this is probably not the first change we are going to see. So, for example, they said that some forms of loan forgiveness were going to be applied automatically, and others people had to apply for. And, you know, that might end up having to change as they move forward. They announced that they're going to include an opt-out system for the automatic forgiveness as a way to, which was seen as a way to head off another potential source of legal challenge. So I think that the best thing they can do is settle on the policy and then communicate that moving forward as consistently as they can. The other thing I would say is, you know, there is a risk here that people start they're counting on this loan forgiveness moving forward, and then there is a court challenge that either holds it up or, in the worst case for some of these borrowers, even reverses it. So I think I don't know if this is the best thing for them politically, but I think in the interest of serving the borrowers they're trying to help here, making clear that people shouldn't be going out and spending this money just yet.
That's so important, Ben. Yeah, that's so important. I appreciate you bringing that up because, again, regardless of how people feel about whether it's a good thing, a bad thing, legal, not legal, all of those things aside, I think the worst thing that we tend to do or that government tends to do, again, equal opportunity offender, is create uncertainty in the process. And so then you do have someone, as you said, maybe it's a young couple and suddenly they think they can buy a home because they're not going to have that student debt. They're going to be, relieved of $10,000 or $20,000. So maybe they're making financial decisions or employment decisions. And then suddenly that gets put in limbo. And so often in our rush to alleviate the suffering of some, we end up creating suffering and uncertainty for many others. And I think you've raised a really important point for the administration. Is okay. You know, there's some issues with this. Figure them all out. Don't do a drip, drip, drip on this one. Give us some transparency, some clarity, and then I think they can move forward on the process.
Yeah, I think you put that very well. And I think part of the challenge is, once they decided they wanted to move forward with the debt forgiveness, they wanted to announce it as quickly as possible. And I think the infrastructure for providing the loan forgiveness and the exact parameters, they're still kind of building that out. So hopefully, this will end up being more of hopefully it all works out for at least, what people get is what they're – hopefully people don't make bad decisions because they were misinformed by the government. I think it would be a real shame if – the policy ends up hurt if the plan hurts the people, the very people it's trying to help.
Yeah, great insight. Always good to have Ben Ritz on the phone with us, director of the Center for Funding America's Future at the Progressive Policy Institute. Ben, thanks for joining us on a Friday. Great perspective. We'll continue to watch this over the coming weeks. I think there's a lot yet to be played out on this one.
Thanks.
All right, and that's Ben Ritz, director of the Center for Funding America's Future at the Progressive Policy Institute. And Ben really raised what I think is the ultimate question, and that is, are we doing kind of a fire-ready-aim approach to some of these executive orders and policies that aren't going through Congress? And in our zeal, in the administration's zeal to get some of those things done, it's a good message. It's a good political message for sure, and it can be helpful if it's executed properly. But if you roll that out and then suddenly you're walking it all back, think of this morning, there were almost a million people who have some level of debt out there from their college and university experience who thought they were going to get debt forgiveness, and suddenly they do not. And that's a challenge. We know that there are others who might have to go through some means testing that might take longer to find out if they actually do qualify. We also have some of the legal challenges that Ben referred to that may slow things down as well. And so, again, this is one of those we have to be careful. Sometimes in that rush to alleviate the suffering of some or to have a good message, we end up creating suffering and uncertainty for many others. And that's where government just has got to slow down, work it through, be transparent, and then communicate it in a significant way. All right, we'll step aside for bottom of the hour news. When we come back, a great conversation. Don't give up on the university campuses. Sam Abrams joins us to talk about that coming up next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.